Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
The boxers have been given their instructions. The seconds are out. The crowd is ready for another edition of Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing with your presenter, the boxing historian, Greg Rashid.
Well, I want to say swadikop to everyone out there. This is Greg Rashid, your presenter, with another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And if you're new to the program, I'm here in Thailand. That's why I say swadikop, which means hello. And I'm hoping you're having a great day, great night, great evening, wherever you are in the world. Just want to thank you for taking the time to tune into the podcast here. Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And I want to thank so many people who have just sent in comments and just thanking me for doing the show. And my longtime listeners who have been listening to me in other iterations of this program, thank you for staying on all these many years, because I've been doing this, oh my goodness, since 2001. My goodness, amazing. But I just love what I do, and I hope that you love this program today. And I know a number of you, I have loved the previous programs because we always have a good time on here. We do fantasy sports as far as fantasy boxing, but also we talk about real boxing, what's going on in the world of boxing, and also the world of mixed martial arts, combat sports, and also at the end, like playing a little music, letting you go out of here a little happy, tapping your feet, having a good time, because it's all about fun. And what I'm going to do, first of all, I'm going to say for the new folks, what we do on here, we have fantasy fights, what-if fights. Because if you're listening to the program, you're probably a boxing enthusiast. So I know you sit down from time to time with yourself or with your buddies and say, I wonder what would happen if Muhammad Ali fought Mike Tyson. Or what would happen if Tyson Fury fought Lennox Lewis. I know you do that. And that's what we do on this program. We use various mods in order to present these fights. And today we're using, as we usually use, Title Bout Boxing 2, created by Jim Trunza. Great game. And there are so many other games out there that we've used. Legends of Boxing, great game. Also, we've used Glory Days Boxing, great games. These are all great games, but this is on the PC. And like I always tell folks, I can put two fighters in a PC and have them fight 1,000 times, and it could come out 50-50. You never know. So this is not etched in stone. This is just fun. And just let your imagination run wild. And today, our fight is going to be between two welterweights. And these two welterweights are known as, to put it nicely, they tend to bleed a little. And I'm talking about the one and only Carmen Basilio and Arturo Gatti. And it's going to be, I'm sure, a humdinger, a bell ringer, a soul shaker. So we're going to get to the fight right now. But before we do that, let's get us a little, we have Danielle come on. Give us the latest boxing news. What's going on in the world of boxing? And I'm doing this show, I'm taping this show on April 28th, on Sunday. So, you know, in Bangkok. So it might, you know, some of you may listen to this later on today or tomorrow, but some may listen a couple of weeks, so this might be old news. But let's listen to this right now, starting with, I think we'll she'll be talking about the upcoming Tyson Fury Usyk fight. So let's hear that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Fans have expressed worry over Tyson Fury's latest physique as the boxer appears to have put on weight. Fury faces Oleksandr Usyk on May 18th for the Undisputed Heavyweight Championship. The winner becomes boxing's first undisputed champion since Lennox Lewis in 1999 when he defeated Evander Holyfield. Both boxers have had their training camps disrupted. They were meant to box on December 23 last year. Fury said he would not be ready after getting past a tough Francis Ngannou fight. The rescheduled date was for February 17. Once again, Fury withdrew after sustaining a cut over his right eye in sparring. Now, both boxers must pay a $10 million fine if they pull out. It is understandable, then, that the two fighters will have to avoid overtraining. Fury was looking a lot leaner compared to the Ngannou fight after suggestions he did not train properly for the former UFC heavyweight champion. Although Fury denied those claims, the loss of weight post Ngannou suggested otherwise. However, his latest training footage shows Fury has put on weight. In the clip, Fury can be seen shadowboxing. It may give an insight into Fury's tactics. The Gypsy King could either be playing mind games or showing fans that he will use his weight on Usyk to overpower the Ukrainian. Fury is on record saying he will overpower the middleweight. The WBC heavyweight champion felt that his size would be too much for Usyk, who did come up from cruiserweight. When the cruiserweights step up to the big boys, usually they get found wanting. You can beat the average big ones, but you can't beat the elite big ones because size really matters. We have weight divisions for a reason, and he's going to be found wanting when he fights me on May 18. If Tyson Fury can't beat Usyk, Tyson's no good, end of. I'm not going to pull any punches, it is what it is. This is my time, my destiny, my era and my generation. Fact, Fury said. However, Fury's resume shows that he does not do well against smaller boxers. His toughest test was against Steve Cunningham, who was a cruiserweight. Cunningham dropped Fury to the canvas with a big overhand right. Although Fury did manage to get up and walk down his opponent before stopping him, it could be a sign of something to watch out for in the Usyk fight.
Thank you, Danielle, for that. Danielle has a hard time with some of the words there, but we're working with her. But she has another report here. This is about the upcoming Canelo Alvarez fight, which is actually this Saturday, May the 4th. And let's hear what Danielle has to say about that. And hopefully she can pronounce the words in the script right now. But let's hear that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
There's a working theory that Canelo Alvarez is sloping down the backside of his career, with the premise being that he will turn 34 this summer, has a loss and 3 unanimous decision wins, including 2 in which he appeared to fade, in his past 4 fights. And he has avoided his most serious challenger. As Mexico's Alvarez nears his May 4th undisputed super middleweight title defense versus his countryman and former junior middleweight champion Jaime Munguia of Tijuana, the doubters will watch closely. On Friday's episode of ProBox TV's Deep Waters, analyst and former 140-pound world champion Chris Algieri said Alvarez has strayed into a conversation that has been reached by every fighter, including all the greats of the past. We're always talking about father time-age, and we're talking about the time when Canelo's going to be overtaken, Algieri said. We never know which version of Canelo's going to show up, but in terms of trends, we've got Munguia on the way up and we've got Canelo going down. Are they going to intersect at a time where Munguia can get the victory? That's really the question. And it's not something we'll know until fight night. Logic, and the bookmakers who list Canelo as a minus 550 favorite, say Alvarez is going to rely on his power, ring IQ, experience and skill advantages to defeat his younger countryman, who has moved up in weight and is elevating to a grand promotion for the first time. Thanks to the luxury of his standing as the face of boxing, Alvarez is entitled to decide his path, and while some fans and critics flamed when he chose Munguia over the more deserving unbeaten former super middleweight champion David Benavidez, Alvarez is positioned to again delay Benavidez by meeting a now mandatory title challenger in heavy-handed Edgar Berlanga. Or perhaps Alvarez's future will be decided by Munguia. Munguia is 6 years younger and has participated in 285 fewer professional rounds than Alvarez as he ascends to the fight of his life. I've had a funny feeling about this fight, in terms of Munguia's chances, for a while now, Algieri said. I'm a big proponent of Canelo Alvarez and what he's been able to do in the ring. I don't know, though. I've got a feeling about Munguia and his preparation. You mentioned the things that give Canelo trouble: dash, punching, output, and he's had trouble with bigger, taller guys, like light heavyweight champion Dimitri Bivol. Munguia is the biggest 168-pounder I've seen in a long time, and he's improving. He's developed a right hand and he used his left hook against John Ryder. While the 6-foot Munguia finished England's Ryder by 9th round TKO in January, the 5'8 Alvarez went the distance with Ryder and seemed to tire in the final half of the bout in his Mexico homecoming bout last May. So there's a lot of underlying reasons I've been listening to and seeing, and Munguia's a very, very live dog.
Yes, he is. He's a very live dog there. Danielle, we gotta take you to school again and teach you some things. But anyway, I think Munguia is going to win that fight. I think he is. I think Canelo is there for the taking. I really think it's going to be I don't even think it's going to be an upset. I just think Munguia is going to win it. If you've ever seen Jaime Munguia fight, man, he's like almost like a younger Canelo. But he can hit. You know, and Canelo's never been knocked out. And he, you know, it's hard to, he's tough. I mean, Canelo's a future Hall of Famer, but I think it's time. I think it's Munguia's time now. But we'll see. We'll see. Next time we have this show, we'll have the results of that fight. But we have one more announcement by Danielle. And please, Danielle, please read the script right. Don't read the pauses. Don't. But anyway, let's hear her talk about the upcoming Katie Taylor fight. Let's hear that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast.
Katie Taylor will face Amanda Serrano in July in a rematch of the biggest fight in the history of women's boxing, with the bout announced as the come-on event of the Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul exhibition contest in Texas. Taylor defeated Serrano by split decision in their historic clash at Madison Square Garden in New York in 2022, with the Irish fighter claiming the undisputed lightweight title in what many considered to be the fight of the year. Taylor, 37, most recently defeated Chantel Cameron in Dublin in their November rematch to reclaim her undisputed super lightweight titles, after suffering the first defeat of her professional career against the same opponent the previous year. Taylor will put all her super lightweight titles on the line as the Irish icon and Serrano, 35, meet at the 80,000 capacity AT&T Stadium in Texas, home of the Dallas Cowboys. Like with Tyson and Paul's bout, it will be shown live on online streaming giant Netflix. This is the rematch the world has wanted to see, and I'm delighted that it's finally happening, Taylor said. The first fight in New York was obviously an epic occasion and it more than lived up to the billing, and I'm sure the rematch will be no different. Taylor and Serrano will fight across 10, 2-minute rounds. Serrano has won her last 4 fights across 3-minute rounds since losing to Taylor in the first women's boxing match to headline the iconic Madison Square Garden. While my focus continues to be on giving women the choice to fight with the same rules as men, I've always said that this is the one fight I'd go back to 10x2 for if that's what Katie wanted, the Puerto Rican-born fighter said. I'm coming for her belts, she wants 10x2, so that's what we will do. Serrano is promoted by Jake Paul's Most Valuable Promotions company, which is also promoting the Paul vs. Tyson fight. The bout will see former YouTube star Paul take on Tyson, one of heavyweight boxing's most legendary figures, who will be 58 at the time. Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano are two of the best boxers in the world, Tyson said in a statement. I know they can both put on an incredible show, and I'm thrilled to have them join this card. These remarkable athletes will undoubtedly elevate the event with their global appeal and fan bases. Adding one of the greatest fights in women's boxing history to this unforgettable event is a true gift to fans.
Thank you very much, Danielle. You did a little better that time, but we got to work with you. You know, I'm not going to fire you, but work on those scripts. Work on it. Don't be like, just work on those scripts. But anyway, we're going to get to the fight in just a minute, but I want to thank everyone who's been tuning in. And as I always tell folks, you can be a promoter of this program. Just go to my Patreon site, look for Nourished by History Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast, and donate $1, whatever you can a month, to keep us going so we can get better equipment here. You know, just do things so it can be even more smoother. Help Danielle get some English classes. you know, something like that. But anyway, you know, you can also go to Buy Me a Coffee and look for Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast and donate what you can, whatever you can. Keep things going because it's your program. And I want to make it the best as possible, as I've done it for my other shows over the years. But I need your help. I need your support. But please do what you can. Go to Patreon. Go to Buy Me a Coffee and make a donation if you can. A dollar or so. It really helps. I really appreciate that. But we're going to get ready to get to the fight now. And I want to say, before I forget, to say hello to all my friends in Colorado who listen every Sunday at 3 p.m. Mountain Time on KUHS, Denver.com, created by the one and only, the man himself, Henry Archuleta. And I'm planning to get back to Colorado to visit at some point, hopefully this year. But in the meantime, you can enjoy me on the air here, and I can enjoy talking to folks in Colorado, various platforms. Just thank you for tuning in. But we're going to get to the fight now. First off, we're going to have a little commercial here. Then we'll get to the Bastille versus Gotti fight. And it's going to be something. It's going to be a barn burner. I'm saying that it probably might end in one round. But anyway, we're going to see right now. But let's get to a commercial right now. We'll get right into the fight. And again, if you're just tuning in, this is Greg Rashid, your presenter for the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. So get your favorite beverage, sit back, and let your imagination run wild.
Are you tired of trading blows and waking up with a sore jaw? Well, fear not, because we've got the solution for you. Introducing the Pillow Puncher 3000. Gone are the days of bruised egos and black eyes. With our revolutionary soft gloves, you can spar all day and still feel like you're sleeping on a cloud. Say goodbye to pain and hello to fluffy fun. Get your Pillow Puncher 3000 today and float like a butterfly, or, well, more like a feather. Order now and we will include the bruise-free hand wraps.
Cheers. This is Knockout Nigel, your humble commentator, coming to you from the Vancouver Forum in Canada. 5,000 loyal fans have packed into this arena to see Canadian legend Arturo Gatti battle Carmen Basilio in a 12-round welterweight bout. The fight is being sponsored by the Vancouver Blood Bank, whose motto is Give and Give Freely. This bout will be scored on the round system. The judges are Gottfried Mark, Angelo Musone, and Jan Christensen. Today's arbitrator in the ring will be Harvey Dock. I have been given a special Canadian brewed bubbly, which uses the juices of the Canadian downy woodpecker. The bubbly is called the Head Banger. I will take a sip of this exotic drink as the bell sounds to begin round one. Gatti lands a 2-point left jab at ring center. Basilio counters with a 3-point combination and 2-point right hook to the gut. Gatti misses with a left cross, then clinches. Referee Doc separates the fighters. Gatti lands a 2-point left hook. Basilio lands a 3-point left hook and 3-point right hook. Those blows have opened a cut over Gatti's left eye. Blood is beginning to trickle down his face. The betting line coming in was which of these pugilists would cut first, as they both are prone to bleed. Basilio lands a 3-point left cross on that eye. Gatti is pawing at the left eye, but he refuses to step back. Basilio lands a 2-point left hook to the eye and a 3-point right uppercut that snaps Gatti's head back as the bell sounds to end the round. Gatti is walking back to his corner with a smile on his face. He shrugs his shoulders as if to tell his corner that he is bleeding. So what's new? His corner is laughing at Gatti's cavalier attitude. I would give the round to Basilio, a very workmanlike round for him. Basilio had 19 points to 4 points for Gatti in round one. I will take another taste of the bubbly as the round two bell sounds. Gatti lands a 4 combination at center ring that got Basilio's attention. Gatti scores with a 2-point left cross. The crowd senses their man is ready to give Basilio a serious beating. Gatti has cut off the ring and pinned Carmen Basilio in the far corner. Gatti misses with a right cross. Basilio counters with a partially blocked left hook for 1 point. Gatti lands a 2-point left jab. The boys are at center ring. Basilio lands a three-point left cross, then misses a left uppercut. Blood is beginning to come out of the left eye, cut again. It is not affecting Gatti's vision yet. Basilio lands a three-point combination and a three-point left uppercut. Gatti misses a right hook as Basilio dicks under it, showing a rare defensive move for him. These are two blokes who rarely have defense in their repertories. They both miss with left hooks as round two ends. That was a very close round to score. I give the slight edge to Basilio. Basilio had 10-8 for Gatti. And let me make it a point to sip some more bubbly as round three begins. The boys meet a ring center. Basilio lands a three-point left uppercut, then a right hook that is slightly below Gatti's belt line. Referee Doc admonishes Basilio with a stern warning. Basilio has been known for low shots in past bouts. The fighters touch gloves and continue. Gatti lands a four-point right lead that snaps Basilio's head back. Basilio misses with a left cross. Gatti misses with a counter-left jab. Basilio clinches. Gatti pushes out of the clinch and lands a two-point right uppercut but misses a left cross. Basilio lands a four-point combination that opens up the left eye cut. Gatti lands a three-point left cross that splits Basilio's nostril. Oh, how ghastly! His face is a mask of blood. Basilio lands a three-point combination, ignoring his injury. Gatti lands a three-point left hook. Basilio returns with his own three-point hook. They are not giving an inch as the bell ends round three. There are two doctors in attendance due to the injury history of the fighters. It is hard to gauge which injury is worse. Basilio will have a hard time breathing with a split nostril, while Gaetti will have difficulties seeing with a cut left eye. Hey, watch it! A fellow at the media table has vomited on the table. The blood was too much for him. I better cover my bubbly to protect it from spraying vomit. That was another close round. Basilio had 13-9 for Gatti. Let me put a cork on the bubbly for now, so vomit does not sip into my bottle as the bell sounds for round four. The boxers meet at ring center. Basilio lands a two-point right uppercut. Gatti lands his own three-point left uppercut to Basilio's nose. Blood is immediately pouring from it. A terrible injury! Basilio throws a low left hook below Gatti's belly. Referee Doc warns Basilio that he will take a point away if it happens again. The fighters touch gloves at center ring. Basilio lands a five-point left hook that buckles Gatti's knees and opens up his left eye cut. Blood is streaming down his face. Basilio lands a two-point left jab and five-point left uppercut that knocks Gatti into the ropes above the media table. An anxious Basilio rushes in and lands another low blow. Harvey Dock has called time and deducted a point from Basilio. Gatti sinks to one knee after that shot. Doc is giving Gatti 5 minutes to regain himself. Gatti takes the full 5 minutes, then motions he is ready to fight. Basilio lands a three-point right cross, three-point left hook to the gut, two-point left cross to the left eye, another three-point left hook to the gut, and a three-point left jab. Gatti's face is now a mask of blood. How he did not go down after those shots is amazing. The bell sounds to end round four. Gatti sprints back to his corner to have his eye worked on. Basilio's corner is trying to stop the blood from his nostril. Both corners are trying their best. The two ring doctors are in both corners examining the fighters. They are allowing the bout to continue. Basilio dominated round four. He scored 28-3 for Gatti. My word. The ring apron is red with blood. Will somebody clean it before the fighters slip to the mat? I will hold off on opening the bubbly again because there are a number of media members next to me who look like they are ready to vomit like their colleague previously. The bell has sounded for round five. Basilio lands a five-point double left jab that opens up the left eye again. Basilio lands a two-point left cross and two-point comb. 157. Carmen Basilio lands a two-point combination. Gatti cannot see those blows. He is not throwing anything back. Basilio lands a three-point left cross, a three-point combination, and two-point left jab. Gatti clinches. Harvey Dock separates the fighters. Dock's blue shirt is now red from the blood from both fighters. Basilio misses with a right cross as the bell ends the fifth round. The crowd is booing Gatti because he is not throwing any punches. So much for their love for Canada's favourite fighter. Basilio won that round. He had 18 points to zero for Gatti. If this keeps up, this fight will be declared a TKO win for Carmen. Gatti comes out and lands a two-point left hook. That blow has caused Basilio's left eye to begin swelling. Basilio lands a two-point left hook and three-point right hook to the stomach. Basilio lands a two-point left cross, two-point combination, and three-point left cross that opens Gatti's left eye again. Basilio scores a two-point right jab. He is putting on a boxing clinic, and Gatti is helpless to defend himself. Gatti grabs Basilio in a clinch. On the break, Gatti smacks Basilio with a soft left jab that causes the ref to tell him not to hit on the break. Gatti nods his head, then proceeds to clinch Basilio again. Referee Doc separates the fighters again. The bell sounds to end round six. Again, Gatti sprints back to his corner. He doesn't appear to be hurt by the punishment he has taken, and he has taken a lot of punishment because he cannot see out of that left eye. Basilio is not the picture of health, as his nostril is split, causing blood to mask his face. Also, his left eye is now swollen. Due to Gatti's only punch in the round that was again dominated by Basilio, Basilio had 18 points in round 6 to 2 points for Gatti. Someone has asked me at press row to pass the bubbly around because it will help those who have been vomiting. Look, this is my bubbly, and no one, I repeat, no one will drink it but me. Understand. The bell for round 7 has sounded. I give Gatti a salute for showing so much courage. Any other fighter would have quit because of the beating administered by Basilio, but Gatti is rushing to center ring as if he has not been hit at all. Basilio lands a two-point right cross. Basilio is stalking his prey. Basilio pushes Gatti into the neutral corner. Basilio lands a two-point combination and three-point left hook. Basilio misses a sweeping left hook. Gatti counters with a five-point right cross that knocks Basilio on the seat of his pants. This arena has exploded. The crowd is screaming for their man, Gatti. Harvey Dock begins the count. Basilio is shaking his head, trying to clear the cobwebs. He is up at 8. His face is a mask of blood again. Doc asks if he can continue. Basilio nods affirmatively. Basilio rushes Gatti and lands a two-point left cross and three-point right jab that opens up Gatti's left eye again. Basilio misses with a left cross. Gatti misses with a counter left uppercut. Basilio lands a three-point left hook to the stomach, a three-point right hook to the stomach, and three-point left hook to the stomach. Those body shots will bring Gatti's arms down to protect his gut, leaving him open for more headshots. Basilio fires off a crisp four-point double jab as the bell sounds to end the round. The crowd is giving the fighters a standing ovation for that round. Even though Gatti knocked down Basilio, Basilio did come back and dominated the last 2 minutes of the seventh. In the round, Basilio had 22 points to 5 for Gatti. While everyone is looking at the fighters in their corners, I will take a quick sip of bubbly under the press table. I will not share this prized Canadian drink with anyone, no matter how sick they are. The fighters meet at ring center to begin round 8. Basilio lands a two-point right uppercut. Basilio clinches. He reaches behind Gatti and tries to pull his head down. Harvey Dock issues a warning to Basilio. The fighters remain at ring center. Basilio lands a three-point left cross and a two-point right hook. Gatti misses a counter left cross. Basilio lands a right hook to Gatti's left ear that drops Gatti like a sack of potatoes. Gatti is trying to reach for the ropes. At the count of nine, he manages to get up, but stumbles into the neutral corner and falls down. Referee Harvey Dock calls a halt to the proceedings. At 1 minute and 41 seconds in the eighth round, the winner by knockout is Carmen Basilio. The crowd is giving Gatti an ovation, even though he lost. They appreciated his courage in this fight. Gatti is up on his feet and waving to the crowd. Basilio and his corner rushed out of the ring with one of the ring doctors. They are concerned about the nostril injury he received. It will need to be operated on immediately. How he fought with it and still was able to knock out Gatti is amazing. We witnessed two courageous representatives of the squared circle today. I will salute them both with a big swig of bubbly. Wait a minute. What is this? Someone has taken my bubbly. I bet it was one of those press row guys who were throwing up during the fight. Oh well. This is your humble commentator, Knockout Nigel, returning you to our Bangkok studio. Cheers. You, my good man, can you inquire to see if there is any more of that Canadian bubbly around?
The one and only Knockout Nigel. And I forgot to introduce him before that fight, and everyone knows Knockout by now. He's got his own fan club. He's just, they love him. They love Knockout. But that was a great fight. Kind of expected, although Gatti could hit hard. He could hit hard. But Carmen Basilio, I mean, he was a tough customer. I mean, he beat Sugar Ray Robinson. He beat Sugar Ray Robinson. He was a tough guy. You know, and he, think about, if you have never seen him, if you've never seen Gatti, but if you've never seen Basilio, go online and look at some of his fights. And look at his face after some of those fights. Oh, brutal. You know, same thing with Gatti. You know, these were tough guys. They're really tough. You know, but legends in the world of boxing. And I hope you enjoyed that fight today. And we're going to have some more, you know, we're going to slip into some music now. We're going to do that right now because a lot of people like to hear the music after the show and all that. But again, if you're able to support the program, just go to my Patreon site. Look for Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast and do what you can to support the program. Also go to Buy Me a Coffee and do what you can to support the program because it all helps. It helps because this is your program. And this is your show. And what I'm going to do right now, we're going to go into some music, you know, because I have learned, you know, like I always say, I said at the beginning of the program, you know, we have the fights on here. We talk about real boxing, but I also like to leave it, you know, leave you kind of happy and dancing, especially in the world we're in now that so many problems out there, so many troubles. So what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to play this song from 2017. And this is a group out of Italy called Bossa Nostra. But the singer on here is a legend in soul music. And I'm talking about Vicki Anderson. And some of you may say, Vicki Anderson, who's that? Well, she sang with James Brown in his band in the late 60s and 70s and early 80s. And she was married to Bobby Byrd, who was with James Brown in the Fabulous Flames. So I'm going to play a song. This is a remake of a song she did in 1969 called Message from a Soul Sister. But this is her with the Bossa Nostra. So let's hear that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Thank you. All right, that was Bossa Nostra featuring the great Vicki Anderson and The Message from a Soul Sister. Hope you enjoyed that on the Show to Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And as I always say, some folks on YouTube, if you're listening to my listening to this on Nourish My History, Nourish by History, my YouTube channel, you may not hear any music because sometimes YouTube likes to ding me and say, you can't play that. That's copyright and all. But I don't care because the majority of the world can hear it. But there's some countries, there's some music they just can't listen to. So I just take a chance. And by the way, I want to say hi to my new friends who are listening to the program in Indonesia. Really, I was really surprised by that. So we got to get some Indonesian fighters on here. But anyway, we're going to go a little more music here. We'll do Pancho Sanchez on congas along with Terrence Blanchard on trumpet. And I'm going to play right now Groovin' High. So let's hear that on the Show to Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Thank you.
oye, y a mí me gusta el bembé. A ti te gusta la rumba, Margarito, mira, y a mí me gusta el bembé. ¿Sabes por qué, por qué, por qué? ¿Tú sabes por qué? Porque el bembé tiene ocha, tiene oñi, amalate. Y en el bembé baila ochu, baila olla, y orilleye, orilleye, orilleye.
Couldn't pass that up, man. I mean, that's if you don't know him, that's the father of mambo, that's the father of salsa in this country, and it's kind of, I'm in Bangkok, but in America, if you're listening in America, and I'm talking about the one and only Tito Fuente and his orchestra, and that was Margarito. Hope you like that on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast, and he's on the timbales doing his thing. And before that, I played Pancho Sanchez on the congo, on the timbales too, along with Terrence Blanchard on the trumpet. And that one was a grooving high. Hope you enjoyed those. And I was about to say, I was getting tongue-tied for a minute, but I met Terrence Blanchard in Nebraska after one of his concerts back in 2017. Really great guy. He autographed a hat for me for my old radio station, Kuvo 89.3 FM in Denver, a jazz station I was on for 10 wonderful years. And I still have the hat in my closet here in Bangkok. Great guy. You know, I hope you enjoyed that music. And I hope you enjoyed the fight earlier, the Gade Basilio fight. I hope you really enjoyed that. And just enjoyed just the fun we had on here. Because it's a difficult time for a lot of folks right now in this world. So we just try to bring some happiness in our little time here on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. And again, as I said earlier, some of you may not hear the music because some countries can't. There's some copyright issues, but a lot of you will hear it. Hope you enjoyed it. Also, if you're listening on the program at Nourished by History on YouTube, check out my latest top five pound-for-pound fighters. I put a list up every month, and this is the latest list. I won't say who's on it. You got to go on there and look for the pound-for-pound top five fighters. And these are men. These are the men. But I will say this. Devin Haney was on my list last month. He ain't on it this month. So just check it out and see who I put in there. Made some slight changes. But anyway, please check it out. Look for Nourished by History and look for the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast, pound for pound, list for April 2024. But anyway, we're going to get ready to get out of here right now. Go in love and go in peace. And whatever you can do, help someone along the way, because we're all on a sphere together. And when you wake up in the morning, get up, go to that mirror, look at yourself and say, I love myself. And give yourself the biggest hug you can possibly give yourself. And if you're sight impaired, get up, hug yourself and say, I love myself. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't do anything. You can't love anyone. You can't do anything. You can't do anything to improve anything until you improve yourself, until you love yourself. Because we depend on each other in this world. Despite what some people may think, we're all in this together. So do what you can. Help a senior, help a young person in your community, help someone in need. Do what you can. Because we're all in this together. But we'll see you next time on the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Again, go in love and go in peace. Help someone along the way. Take care. See you next time.
Thanks for tuning in, my friends. See you next time for another edition of the Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing Podcast. Please don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. Thanks.